We're not saying Rick and Lee are secretly animals trapped inside human bodies who keep interviewing pet experts to figure out how to escape, but it's certainly a possibility. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line a long and returning guest. I remember talking to Cheryl over 10 years ago, and she is back with us. It's Cheryl Connell Marsh, who is the owner and founder of Nottingham Nature Nook and the Nottingham Equestrian Center in East Lansing. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Thank you so much, Lee. It's good to be back.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you as one of the primary people when it comes to wildlife rehabilitation in the Ingham County area. You are someone who everybody may want to know at some point or another. So to begin with, why don't you explain to the public exactly what is a wildlife rehabilitator and why the heck did you become one?
Basically, what wildlife rehabilitation is we take in different wildlife that people find in the community that's primarily either babies that for some reason have fallen out of the nest, or their nest been destroyed, or the parents have been killed, and then also injured adults. We don't deal with domestic animals at all. We just deal with wildlife. Every wildlife rehabber has their certain preferences of species that they like to work with, and so people are fortunate that, say, if they found a duck or a goose, there's one gal in Ingham County, that's all she does. I do small mammals. I also specialize in foxes, red foxes and gray foxes. I also specialize in fawns, and then we also do songbirds as well as all the small mammals. So we stay pretty busy here taking care of them, but our ultimate goal in all of this is to raise the animals, heal the animals, and then release them back into the wild. We don't intend to keep any of them as pets or captive.
Lee was telling me he's been there and found the visit to be like almost life-changing. Talk to us about this paradise you have in East Lansing. I don't think too much paradise of nature occurs in a city with such dense population.
Well, you have to admit, Cheryl, that where you live, it doesn't seem like you're in East Lansing.
True. I mean, we're very fortunate. I am a strong believer in everything happens for a reason, and I live in East Lansing, but I live at the end, almost to the end of a dead-end road, and the end of it is a 2,000-acre farm, and it's owned by a family that their daughter also rides at my barn, so we're friends, and I am surrounded by woods and fields and the Chandler Marsh. And so when you come to Nottingham, even though we're only 10 minutes from East Lansing, you enter a place where wildlife is our main concern. And what we do here is we work with wildlife. We understand that there can be problems sometimes with wildlife, but we work to try to make it a place that wildlife want to live as well as a place that we want to be in. And I want people to come here and be able to feel the peace, to feel how we can coexist together. For me, that's my ultimate goal. I want to feel like every day in some way I make a difference in this world, and that in my world here, by making it peaceful and showing that everything can coexist, that goes out farther and farther in the world.
Now, if somebody brings an animal to you, and you rehabilitate it, where does it go?
It depends on the animal. So most of the small mammals go here. I'm very fortunate because I have so much different property. The rabbits we release across the street from where I am because it has wonderful brambles and great places for rabbits to be in. The squirrels I release right around me. Like I said, I've put up probably 40 to 50 nest boxes in all the trees. We have planted different kinds of nut trees all over the property for them. The foxes, now that I've been doing it long enough, we raise them. They move into an outdoor cage. And then once they're old enough, we trap them, and then we take them and relocate them to other properties. And these properties are all over the state, and there are properties that I have gone and checked out to make sure that they're going to be suitable for the foxes to be in. The deer, now the law is that you can only rehabilitate fawns within a 10-mile radius of your center, and then you have to release them right at the center as well. So all of our fawns here are released right on our property.
Has the 10-mile rule, how long has that been in effect, and how does that affect the, I mean, what happens if it's 11 miles out? Where does that fawn go?
It doesn't go anywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The DNR rules are pretty strict. There's only 8 wildlife rehabilitators in the state of Michigan that can do fawns. If it falls outside the 11-mile radius, I'm supposed to euthanize them. They do that because of their worries for the chronic wasting disease. We've only been able to start doing fawns again. This will be the 3rd year now since they put a stop to us doing them. But now we've been able to do them for 3 years. So well, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to have to do that.
Sure, sure. And certainly there's a public health concern. So how has this whole wasting disease played out in both the fawn and adult population in the greater East Lansing area?
Fortunately, in East Lansing, there has not been, to my knowledge, there has not been a case of chronic wasting disease. And even though it started initially in Hazlet, it seems to be moving more north. And so it does not seem in recent years to be a problem. What is more a problem for the deer at this point is the lack of tolerance of people in putting up with deer and learning how to live with them. With building East Lansing up as they are, as destroying all the deer habitat that they're doing, the deer are being crammed into smaller and smaller places, so people are interacting with them more. Instead of looking for plants and landscaping to plant that are deer resistant, people are calling the city and complaining that they want the deer removed, they want the deer shot.
And Cheryl, how is that affecting the fact that you've got a fairly sizable constituency that's in favor of hunting deer as opposed to saving deer? I mean, how is that impacting what you do? Because we've seen stories recently about the hunts that were considered for East Lansing.
The interesting part to me is that I come in contact with actually quite a few sportsmen, hunters, and they are against these mass shootings.
For those who feel that
going to decrease the number of deer that are going to be out there for them to be able to hunt by doing these mass shootings.
Well, explain mass shootings. What are you referring to for those who haven't necessarily followed the stories?
So what East Lansing is doing is they're working with the United States Department of Agriculture that have hired sharpshooters that come into the various city parks in East Lansing. They close the parks off at night so that the public can't come in and get hurt. But in the Abbott Road Park, which is about a mile from my facility, they shot 37 deer in one night.
Mm. Some of those probably have a history at your house.
I'm sure they do. And in something like that, you're not killing all of them at the same time. They're watching as the other deer are killed, too.
What's the rationale that they're using for this particular practice? Because it seems pretty ambitious and aggressive.
I'm not sure why they are picking this over. I know initially when Meridian Township started, they did like bow hunting and individual hunting. I'm not sure why they have gone to this massive hunt, but in posting it with people through social media for Nottingham Nature Nook, the response that I got from people was overwhelming. I had like 15,000 people respond in favor of stopping the hunts. So even good hunters are against this. This has a moral and an ethical component to it that people can't ignore, and I'm not really sure how even effective this is.
Yeah, I just don't know exactly what the accomplishment goal is and why they would would have this, you know, is it that they're concerned about the wasting disease working its way into East Lansing, or is it simply
just the culling of the herd?
This is totally about people complaining about deer getting in and eating their shrubbery. It's about deer accidents, which there were only 40 in the last year in East Lansing. There weren't any statistics on it. Were the accidents caused by the driver not paying attention? You know, was it a young driver? Was it an older driver? Was the person speeding? I mean, there's a lot of components. Lee, you know, you've driven out here. In all my years of living here, there has never been a deer that has been hit by a car on my road, because I have signs posted, please slow down, and people do, and they watch for the deer. And so I don't have, in 20 years, I have not had one deer hit by a car. So,
well, it tells me that clearly the public needs to get involved on the issue if they've got strong feelings. So I hope that they do. But Cheryl, let's kind of shift the conversation for a second, because we're in wintertime, and unfortunately, I don't know what the heck the groundhog was thinking. I'm thinking I need some more votes, because six more weeks of winter, my goodness, enough is enough. But people are getting outside, though, nonetheless, and they're going to start finding, whether it's baby rabbits or baby deer or, as you've mentioned, birds that fall out of the nest. And everyone wanting to be a good Samaritan is, of course, going to grab them. Is, of course, the right course of action? Or what should people do when they come across
these
animals?
And it really depends on the species, Lee. Squirrels, what I tell people is, if a squirrel's on the ground, that squirrel is, that mother is 99% of the time is not coming back for that baby squirrel. So please pick that baby squirrel up, get him warm immediately, and bring him to me. If you find a nest of bunnies, however, bunnies, the mothers only feed them twice a day, dawn and dusk. They are much better off leaving them. If you've uncovered the nest, just cover them right back. She has no real strong sense of smell. She doesn't care if a human's touched them, as long as the nest stays in the same place. Baby birds, if you can get them back up to the nest, if you can see the nest, great, put them up in the nest. And then sometimes the whole nest will fall down, and then I just tell people, put it in a little plastic bowl and drill the bowl up to the tree, and the mom will even come back and feed them with the nest inside that plastic bowl. So squirrels are the big one. They need to come into us. Fawns, of course, I'm always telling people, please leave them alone. Their moms are going to come back for them as well, unless you see that there's something wrong, that the fawn is injured or is sick in some way.
So with the squirrels, why do the babies go wayward? You know, what is the actual anatomy of the incident that, you know, puts a baby squirrel in this defenseless situation?
So it can either be that it's the runt of the litter and the others are pushing the runt out. Mm-hmm. It can be the more dominant of the litter, that they've gone off exploring way sooner than they should have, and then they fall off the branch and end up falling on the ground. We also get circumstances where the mother squirrel is killed and the babies are literally up there waiting for her to come back and are weak and starting to starve to death, and so they will fall out of the nest or crawl out of the nest to find help.
So I'm thinking, you've been doing this for a lot of years and you've released, I'm sure, a lot of squirrels.
Yeah.
What do they do to make, you know, their numbers appropriate? Like, how far will they travel if that space is taken or this space is taken? Will they travel miles, or
they'll go up to a mile. Especially fox squirrels do not like to live together. So that they'll cohabitate to a certain number, and then you'll see them start to space out. Here at the Nook, we keep the numbers down to a certain point, because I do have a certain number of foxes that live on the property. So the foxes will hunt the squirrels. So that kind of keeps the population down. But and they'll have different injuries, obviously, just like any other species. They'll be hit by a car or fall out of a tree. I've gotten several squirrels this year that have fallen out of trees, and the people have brought them to me. Several I was able to actually take back to the people and release them back on the property where they came from. So,
what varieties of squirrels are we talking about?
So in Michigan, we have gray squirrels. You have the black squirrels, which are simply a color hybrid of the gray squirrel. You have the fox squirrels, which are your big, fat, brown ones. You have your little red squirrels, which are incredibly smart. And you have flying squirrels. And here in this area, we have both northern and southern flying squirrels, that I have rehabilitated. And they're amazing, but they are just nocturnal. So very few people see the flying squirrels.
Do you have a favorite, or is there this fond memory of a particular variety of squirrel?
They all have very, very kind of different personalities and stuff. I really like the black squirrels because they're very quirky. They're smart, but they're quirky, and that maybe is a little bit my personality, a little quirky. I love the flying squirrels, too, because they are just pure joy, those squirrels. Well, just to them, everything in life is joy. They love to glide. They love to eat. They are just joy. So.
Well, Cheryl, I hate to say it, but we are just out of time. But we want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been
speaking with
Cheryl Connell Marsh from Nottingham Nature Nook, and we wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
Oh, our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to take a break, but after the break, we're going to talk with Kevin Baker from Baker's Wildlife Services here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
Tweet, tweet, he rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a-bopping and a-singing his song. All the